Afternoon. It's 1:46 p.m., May 12th, 2012. Yeah, I waited until the afternoon hoping that today was going to warm up and get a little bit less lowery, but unfortunately, I think it's getting actually colder and nastier, so I figured I better get the walk in before it got too late. It's a crummy day. It's just kind of a crummy day. I've needed to do some recording, but we've got laundry going. That happened yesterday as well. My wife stayed home again yesterday. So I needed to do recording for Abby Hilton, but I didn't get to it because I couldn't find a time when the house was quiet. So yeah, it was a problem. I did get a lot of editing done. I think I'm at like page 265, 275, something like that, out of 440. So I'm cruising along. I heard from Ryden, apparently the books for signature have been shipped, so I should have a case of paperbacks here pretty soon. They think it'll be here on Monday. So I'm expecting to get a pile of print slips tomorrow. She also asked how the edits were coming, but since she's supposed to be working on the quarterly royalty reports, I told her I wasn't working on it very hard. I'm trying to get it done, but not exactly pushing forward, because I know she's got other stuff that she needs to take care of right at the moment. Double Share's hanging in, 230s. It was going up and down, 230, 231, 233. Didn't look after lunch. After a while, I don't even look. I got a whole set of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 star ratings. Most of them are 5 stars. One each in every other category. So I do have the full set. That's important. It's interesting for me that the things that people actually tell me they like are the same things that a lot of these people who give me low star rating reviews complain about. So I guess it's okay. But it's still one of those very curious things. It's like nothing ever happens. There's no space battles. There's no aliens. There's no ray guns. It's just a guy could be on a bus. It's kind of the point, Jack. It's sort of the point. It's like people aren't going to change that much. And so the challenge is, what kind of stories do we tell each other about that lifetime in the future sometime, 300 years from now? What does it look like? And my answer is, it doesn't look a whole lot different than what we look at right now. And that's sort of the point. It's all the people who complain about, well, it's not really science fiction because it's not really doing anything different. Duh. Hello? Is anybody home? I'm out here knocking on the window. Hello? Hey. Anyway. So tomorrow is elder daughter's 17th birthday, Mother's Day. We're going out to dinner tonight. We're not going to try to get out to dinner tomorrow night, because being Mother's Day, it'll be almost impossible. We don't have anything too really big planned, I hope. We should have a good time going out to dinner tonight. We'll have to go out early, because they want to go to Red Lobster, and Red Lobster fills up on Saturday night, so we need to go before the crowd builds too much. Can't decide what I want to eat. Food. Good food. Big pile of it. Unfortunately, I really shouldn't eat a big pile of food, but that's what I'm thinking about. Hey, you're okay.
You'll be fine. Just breathe.
So we're going to Balticon. I still have not made a room reservation. I can't believe it. I really need to do that. Although, honestly, I can't really see a lot of pressure to do it. Because even if I don't get in the Con Hotel, I can get in the hotel across the street. Pretty sure. And I actually prefer that hotel, I think. Because it provides a buffer. Maybe it's an age thing. Maybe it's a... maybe it's a stamina thing. That I just don't have the stamina. So being in the conference hotel, stuff going on until 4 in the morning, you know, 10 o'clock, I'm ready to call it most nights. I'll probably stay up till 11 or 12 because I'll probably sleep in till 7. I won't have cats or kids to wake me up. I won't have things to make me crawl out of bed at 4 in the morning. So I can make up for it on the other end. And it's really, with the jet lag, 6 o'clock Eastern time is 4 a.m. my time. So that's a normal wake-up time for my body. So that'll be okay until I start shifting time zones. But such is life. So it goes. I do have an airline ticket. I got a plane. I'm going to fly. It's going to be $500. Worth every penny. Worth every penny. So what else is going on? I need to get some clothes. I noticed that my good jeans aren't so good anymore. It's been a couple, 3 years since I bought them, so I suppose it's only fair. Eventually they do wear out. I got a big pile of laundry I've got to do for myself. Yeah, okay, big time. So, writing, no new writing, really. I'm really focused. Oh, whenever I sit down to write, I haven't done my grading. Oh! It's so easy to forget this. I think it's not so much easy to forget, is it? I really am actively pushing it out of my brain. Now, a lot of you have made comments about this incomplete that I have to deal with. It's a fact of life. It's not the first one that I've had to do for no pay. Generally there's pretty good reason. Generally, it's, you know, they missed something in the middle of the semester and then never got caught up. That's not uncommon. And I do try to be a little bit flexible, and I try to make them understand it. Okay, you're going to do a lot of work on your own. You're going to submit it to me, and I'm going to say yes or no. That's about it. So I've already had a couple of requests for feedback on their papers, and my response to it was, if I give you feedback, it's going to be what's wrong with your paper. Because I assume if you're in graduate school, you can write a logical paragraph, you can create a valid thesis, and you can write a paper that actually is a research paper. If I give you feedback, it's going to be to tell you why you got such a bad grade. So be careful what you wish for. And usually the people who are asking that don't have bad papers, so it's not a big issue. And the one person who signed up for one subject and then wrote about something completely different and was completely oblivious to the fact that what they were writing about wasn't the topic at all that they signed up for, even though the title on the top of the page was the topic. Didn't work. They still passed, but they gave them a minimum passing grade because it was well done for what it was, but it wasn't the topic they were supposed to do. He said, well, first rules of grad school, answer the question. This seems like it's such an easy thing. It seems like it should be such a straightforward idea. particularly when you're in grad school, by the time you get to grad school, somebody asks you a question, you should answer the questions asked. If you get asked a question and you answer some other question, no matter how good that answer might be, it's not the answer to the question that's on the table. And therefore, it's kind of like, yeah, so? In a lot of ways, I suppose that ties back to the one-star reviews that I get periodically. It's like, yeah, fine, for the most part. I don't fault them. I don't fault them. They seem pretty well have it under control in terms of what it is they don't like about it, but it's not the question that's on the table. One person gave a 3-star review recently, was disappointed because there was a gap in time. And that's one of the criticisms that I get a lot. I get a lot of people who want, well, what happened to the college? What happened to going to university? What happened to going to the academy? What about the academy years? And I was like, you know, I said it before, I'll probably have to say it another 100 times. We already have back to school and bedtime for Bonzo. We already have a whole bunch of goes to college stories. Until I can come up with something that makes that story unique, until I can come up with something that makes that story mine, and not just Ishmael Wong plays Rodney Dangerfield, I can't write that story. And the idea that they don't connect after college, I'm sorry. How many of your college classmates, those of you who went, how many of those people do you contact with regularly? Even maybe once a year, a Christmas letter. Out of the hundreds that went to college with you, 2, maybe 3, half a dozen? This idea that we connect with people and we stay connected with them throughout our lives is one of those things that I find very curious, because it's not my experience. It's not what I observe in other people. Yeah, there's some folks, they're connected up the butt and they don't ever leave home. They never go anywhere. They go to the local college. They get out of the local college and go to work at the local factory, and everybody in their class from high school who followed them into college follow them to work in the factory, and they all stay in touch because they're all still part of the same group. But that's, you know, that's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. I know there are people who think that that's normal, but my experience is that that's not normal at all. Anybody who goes away to college, anybody who goes away to school, anybody who goes someplace more than 150 miles from where they were children, maintaining those connections over decades, I'm sorry, that doesn't happen. We want to get to Captain Sharon, and it's been a 10, 15-year gap, and he shows up with a wife. And that's one of the big complaints that I got in the audiobook was, what happened in the middle? It doesn't matter what happened in the middle. It's not a share book. There's no cadet share. There's no distinction between first, second, and third mate in terms of share. It's not part of the story. I guess I'm curious as to why that keeps coming up. Because it's pretty clear. It's pretty obvious to me. Of course, I'm biased because it's my structure. It's pretty obvious to me that the structure is the shares. So if there's no share, like there's no cadet share, there's no book. There's no second mate's share. So there's no book. There can't be a book. It could be a story later. I could come back and visit another time. There might be something that I want to talk about and explore. But quite frankly, I don't think I really want to look back. And you want to write a story about when you were the assistant manager? Or you want to write a story about when you were the manager? What was significant? What was important? What was the milestone? And maybe there was one. Maybe that's an important piece. But in these books, there's no share. There's no distinction. So there's no story. At least not yet. So I don't know. This is one of those very curious things that always leaves me scratching my head whenever somebody brings it up. A lot of people really hate the ending of Ownershare, and I understand why. But that's the story ends. That's how that particular cycle comes to a completion. That's how it gets resolved. And it gets resolved, unfortunately, in the same kind of realistic way that most of us get resolved. Something happens. Something happens, and usually it's horrible. And for all the people who thought, oh, yeah, but he's so perfect, and everything he does is right, and everything he does is perfect, it's like, no, it ain't. And even if it were, that doesn't mean he's absolved from the awful. It doesn't mean people around him don't die, that things don't just happen. So it's very interesting to me, that the reaction. And particularly given the way the book actually does end, and not the way that most people think it ends. So I'm really interested in how people view the two as distinct perspectives on how the story ends. Because to me it ends on an up note. But for so many people, because it doesn't end with him and Greta getting together, it ends on a down note. That's an interesting perspective. I hadn't really considered that before. I have to think more about that. The reality is that I could have done that ending. I really could have. I could have done that ending, and that would have been the last book of Ishmael Huang. I never would have written another story, because there was no other story that I wanted to tell. Sort of like the going to college story. No, not interested. Don't want to play that game. No, I might play that game later. I might play that game when Ishmael gets to be older. I may play that game when Ishmael has new insight, when he has a different life, when he actually knows who the hell he is. Guy still thinks he's not a spacer. So yeah, there's lots of stuff swirling around today. I wonder why. How odd is that? Part of it's frustration. Part of it's thinking about this outside office idea. I really like it. Electricity, yes. Internet? Not sure. I almost think no. I think back to the experience at Oregon, at the writer's workshop there, the retreat. Part of the reason that worked so well was there was no internet. Well, there was, but it was really limited. You had to go to a special place for a special time, and you could only get internet for a while, and then you had to go back to your room and write. And let's get some power to it. Let's get some significant power to it. It's something I need to think more about. But later, because right now I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And I'll talk to you then.